Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing Kel Thompson, the director of Comedicness, The Quest for Essence, and I believe I have him on the line. Okay, Kel, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Thanks for being on the show.
You're
welcome. Okay, well, we're going to talk about your documentary. You have Jesse Furman interviewing top comedians. How did you come up with this idea, and how did you get all these people to get involved?
Well, okay, that goes back to Jesse Furman, and we did a show about his comedy troupe called The Joke a couple years back now, and it never really came to fruition, but we had some synergy, and we kicked around a few ideas and mentioned, Comedicness, The Quest for the Essence of Comedy, and we wanted to do something, you know, similar to what we pulled off. And he happened to know a lot of, because of his, you know, he's an improvisational, you know, comedian. So he has a lot of connections and in the comedy world. And it turns out that one of the top, if not the top, you know, morning show, the KBJ show, Kevin, Virginia, and Jason are on 97.9 now. They were down in Fort Lauderdale market when we did the show, when we did our show. But they're best friends with Jesse. So Jesse had that connection, and then he also had, he knew Tom Cotter before, you know, Tom Cotter's career has really taken off in the last few years thanks to America's Got Talent. And Last Comic Standing and a lot of other stuff that he's done. And Jesse Furman had met him a little while back. So basically our host, Jesse Furman, roped in a lot of favors. And we got Ken Miller on as well. Ken Miller opened up for Tom Cotter. And I actually see him just joining us on Facebook. But he was really funny as the opening act. And he's last year he was Florida's Funniest Comedian. So he's a pretty big deal himself, and so we just really got lucky, and a lot of it's attributable to the Jesse Furman.
Okay. So how long did it take you to shoot this?
You know, we shot it at the end of last year, and we shot it over several days. We went, we actually went to the Improv, which is in Fort Lauderdale at the Hard Rock, and we went to the Palm Beach Improv. And we shot one segment is one of the comedy schools. So they're up-and-coming comedians that are going to school as an entry into, you know, the comedy profession. So we got to shoot there. And so all in all, it took us, I'd say the better part of a week to shoot, you know, maybe not all full days, but yeah. And then the editing was a big deal, too. Jim Rockledge helped shoot it. He helps with a lot of my projects. He's always willing to lend a hand. A friend named Danny DeGennaro helped shoot a lot of it. And then I had a really great editor named Darnell Peacock who helped me edit it. And I did all aspects of it as well, shooting and editing, but like Darnell Peacock's an exceptional with After Effects, you know, editor. And so a lot of our opening title sequence and closing title sequence, he got dialed in because I couldn't really touch it. If I touched it, I broke it.
It looks like you're going into, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of the clubs to do the footage. How difficult was that to light that? Because you're in a club and, you know, it's dark. How did that work?
Right. Well, the brilliant thing about comedy clubs is they're pre-lit. So we had that one kind of handed to us. Generally speaking, it's would be a big issue, but luckily they have, you know, pretty much the best lighting that one can ask for, so we don't have to go on and set up much lighting. We did shoot it from multiple angles. That's kind of the cool thing that we tried to do is have, instead of just a one camera shoot, you know, we had up to five cameras. We had a GoPro camera on the stage, you know, side camera. We had Jim on the main camera. And, so we just shot it from all kinds of angles to give it kind of that production value.
How long did it take to edit everything together?
The editing, it was at the beginning, end of last year and beginning of this year, and it just seemed to take forever and ever and ever. I don't have actual man hours on it. It must be, I don't know, 150 hours or something if I'm just throwing a number out there.
Did you need permits to shoot any of this, or did you kind of do it guerrilla style?
No, we did it all guerrilla style. I've only gotten into following the law recently. I didn't do that much in my early career. No, I'm just kidding. But, no, we most of it was indoors, you know, so we did some shooting out on, like, in Palm Beach. But, you know, it was really one camera, one guy, and it wasn't bothering anybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, did the comics also come to you to, you know, talk to you, or did you strictly go to them?
There's definitely a lot of comics that would like to be involved with it, and they would, you know, we're hoping the end game is to be able to produce a season, you know, for a network, and so, you know, 10 to 13 episodes, 30 minutes or 1 hour, and then we can have a different, you know, small, medium, and, you know, headliner acts in each episode. So, you know, we're hoping for, with the exposure from the Fort Lauderdale Film Festival, that, you know, maybe it'll fall into the right hands and we'll be able to do that. The nice thing about comedicness is it's the quest for the essence of comedy. So what we do is we do interviews with all the comics, and then we intermix that with their live acts. So they've spent their careers developing and refining their live acts. And people like Ken Miller, who are contest winners, and they have very, very, you know, well-refined and hysterical comedy routines. And so we film that, and then we do an interview, and they give us the backstory of where they came up with all the material. So the nice thing is it can be produced, you know, on a budget, but it has what all networks seem to be looking for, and that is, you know, characters, you know, and comedians are what? There's no more greater characters than comedians, right?
That's what I was trying to ask is, when you did the interviews, did you do them on location with the people, or did they come to you? Because I don't know what your studio setup is now. I know you had your studio, and I know you moved around. So did they come to you and interview, or did you go to them?
Right. No, we did interviews at the clubs. Yeah, as far as that goes, we did bring lighting in, if that was what you're asking. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and then the other, as far as the other interviews that we did that were not at the club, we went to, like, an Irish bar to interview Tom Cotter, which he loved, because he's Irish. And so that gave us a really cool backdrop with all the liquor bottles and all that behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just tried to make it interesting. You know, there's distractions because it was a bar. You know, there's a little extraneous noise going on. But it also gives, you know, the comedians something to work with because they like to ad-lib while they're, you know, doing their interviews.
Yeah. Now, did he live locally?
And then we did the interviews. Yeah, it was all down here in South Florida. And then I was going to mention with the KBJ show, we interviewed in their studios. So it was a really nice setting.
Uh-huh.
They were very accommodating, very nice to work with.
But does Tom live down here, or does he live up in New York? I forgot.
Tom is in New York.
He was
passing through. It just lined up where Jesse, you know, he has a lot of people that, you know, he can ask who's coming into town, and he happened to be coming in. So he just asked for a favor, and Tom was very accommodating.
That's great. Talking to all these comedians, it must have been hilarious to listen to all of them. What were some of your favorite moments, you know, whether it's on stage or in the interview?
Man, hit me with that one on the spot. Yeah, favorite moment, you know, the thing is, like, Ken Miller, we didn't really know who he was until we went to film Tom Cotter. And because he was the opening act, and he was just so refined and polished, and we shot it anyways, and he knew we were going to shoot it, and or maybe he didn't, but he gave us permission to use it. But it was a treat to be able to kind of not discover him, certainly, but to discover him for our show as an added talent that we could include. And he did a lot of really funny stuff that if I even tried to paraphrase it, I would just screw it all up, so I won't do him that disservice.
Mm-hmm.
And then just working with Tom Cotter is really a treat. And seeing all the beginning students was a big treat, too, because some of them, I mean, you know, it's something that I want to do. I'm 40 this year, so I've always wanted to be a stand-up comic, and I've never taken the plunge. And so to see all these students get up there and doing their best to entertain and come up with jokes, and, you know, some of them are going to bomb and some of them are going to succeed. And then after that, it was open mic, so we got to see all these characters come on stage, and they were just out of control. I mean, and so that was, and again, I can't really describe it. It's just up-and-coming comedians, and they're very volatile, and you don't know what they're going to do. It was a lot of fun to see them, you know, starting out. And then as they move through their careers, they obviously keep what works and drop what doesn't, and that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. So what did you learn about the essence of what makes great comedy from doing this?
You know, Jesse says that comedy is family, friends, and the unexpected. I think that's a lot to do with it. I think that it's an introspective look at comedy. I think is with the recent events with Joan Rivers and Robin Williams, I think it's really neat to be able to, you know, get an inside look at what comedy is. Because obviously sometimes we don't touch on this in our documentary very much, but, you know, a lot of times it comes from pain or it comes from, you know, circumstances in people's early lives. And, you know, a lot of times comedy is a medicine that helps them heal. And sometimes it helps all of us heal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Joan Rivers and Robin Williams, who were some of the comedians that, as a kid, you know, you really gravitated toward, that you really liked growing up?
Oh, well, what comes to mind, I would say Eddie Murphy. You know, I remember listening to his early stuff as a kid, and I wasn't supposed to. And, you know, it was a crack up with his crazy family stories and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So, sort of the forbidden nature of it, since you weren't supposed to be watching it, I see.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening. I had a tape.
So, now, this is going to be at the Fort Lauderdale Film Festival, Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. Do you know what date and time yet?
I was told the 8th and the 16th. I don't have a time. I think it starts the 17th to the 20th, or it starts the 7th to the 23rd.
Right, November 7th to the 23rd.
Yeah,
and
so we're
showing on the 8th and the 16th. Okay.
8th and 16th, yeah. And I thought the 8th was pretty good. I don't know much about, you know, that film festival, but
absolutely.
Sounds like we're at the top of the lineup, so that's good.
Okay.
We're hoping to get Kevin, Virginia, and Jason to come out, Ken Miller, and maybe we'll get lucky and have Tom Carter and some of the folks from the comedy school to come out, too. So, and of course, everybody listening here in South Florida Film, it would be just awesome if everybody could come out and support it.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you sent it out to other festivals as well?
No, I haven't. I tried to enter a few festivals earlier on when I was in film school, and I had just bad luck with timing, and I'm not going to drop any names, but the Delray Beach Film Festival forgot to play one of my entries, and then, you know, just postmark stuff got mixed up, and, you know, it's just such a hassle. And so finally, I got this one and just at the deadline. And then sometimes you pay $50 to send it to South by Southwest or something, and then they're like, we're not going to accept it. You know, and there goes your $50. And a lot of times, and so I kind of get disenfranchised with it. But with comedicness, you know, I had shopped it some. I went to the North American Television Production Executives Conference, NAPI, in Miami, and I tried to sell it there, and it got a lot of good attention, but nobody actually picked it up. So I had it sitting, and I was like, you know what, I want to try and get this into a festival. It started off as a documentary. Then I took it to the TV route, and then now it's back and entered as a documentary. So, just like I said, it was sitting on my computer, and I was like, this has some quality content on it. And it's well done, you know, and it's got a lot of really good characters. And so hopefully it'll do well at the Fort Lauderdale Film Festival. But we're very honored to be accepted to, that's for sure. Because I know it's a big one. I went to a film there about 10 years ago, I think, when we first got to Florida. So it's been around for 29 years.
Yeah. And this is not your first project. You've also done other projects, including Showboating. Why don't you tell us about that one that you did?
Sure. Showboating, I say the tagline is a hip nautical look at yachts or boating. And basically the idea there was I was also trying to, you know, thread the needle of what can be done and produced on a budget. And this was when I was more interested in, and well, I hosted myself because, you know, I like to be on camera some, but also that way there's less people involved to work with. So I did host that one myself. And we went to the Palm Beach Boat Show, the Suncoast Boat Show downtown Sarasota. And we did a bit on the Volvo Ocean Race, another segment. So we did three complete episodes there that did get distribution on Tuff TV nationally. And so we had some success. We got a Telly Award for the Volvo Ocean Race. And I almost parlayed that into being an onboard reporter for the Volvo Ocean Race, but they did not have an American entrant this year. So they emailed me specifically and said, you know, we don't usually do this to our contestants, but you're kind of a friend of the race because of the show you did for about us. So we just want to let you know we don't have enough boats to include you as an onboard reporter. But it's a two-year, it's a big commitment. It's like a nine-month race spanning 2 years, goes around the world. Oh. It would be a lot of time away from everything that family, especially that here in Florida.
Yeah. So where is showboating now? Is it online?
It is online. Show-boating.com is where the episodes are. And then, one of them is doing really well on YouTube. It's got, well, to me it's well. It's got like 30,000 views, so I think that's pretty cool.
Wow. That's great. Now, you did another show, too, where you were going up and down the intercoastal. What was that one?
That was one of my first television concepts that I did a sizzle for. It highlights to me how many things I've tried. But it was the Intercoastal Waterway. It's called Your Intercoastal Waterway, or Your ICW. And basically we were going to go take a boat from the Keys up to Maine and travel the Intercoastal and highlight kind of a Travel Channel style show and highlight all of the, you know, different interesting people and businesses that inhabit, you know, waterways. It's a whole different life there on the water. And so it was going to just kind of be kind of a travel destination show. So, we did the 8-minute sizzle. And it got close. It got close in a lot of ways, but didn't quite make it. So luckily my corporate career did slightly better than my television and film career.
Tell us a little bit about how you got started in film, because I know, but they don't know, so... Tell us a little bit about how you got
started. Sure. I studied photography way back in high school, and then, you know, I don't want to give my whole life story, but then later I became a helicopter videographer in news in Houston for News 24 Houston. I did that for a year, and then I went to work for Multi Image Group, a very large, successful corporate production company in Boca Raton, and I worked there for 2 years. And towards the end of that, I went to the Palm Beach Film School, and which is a highly recommended experience, and I learned a lot about shooting and editing and creating stories. So I've kind of merged all those together, and so I do photo, video, and event production as my company, America's Production Company. And I've been doing it on my own for 8 or 9 years now, I guess. And I had the studio for 5 years, and I recently... I'd like to say I shut it down, but I kind of got shut down by my landlords. But
another Wait, story.
Hey, it turns out to be a blessing, because you know what? It was a $1,500 payment. I had it for 5 years, $1,500 a month, and that comes around no matter how busy you are. And I had it built out how I wanted to, and I was talking to them about renewing the lease. And Investments Limited said, we're not going to give you the option. Your neighbors have made a better offer and are willing to sign a long-term lease, and we're not going to let you renew. However, we'll move you somewhere. And I said, you know what, I'm kind of done with you guys. So now I'm a small operation capable of doing large things, so it's a good deal.
And you're starting a new project, which is Creative Professionals. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Creative Professionals has, it's had a lot of false starts, and I just went through another web developer, and I've done several websites on my own. I'm much better at photo, video, and event production than I am at web development, but I can tinker as good as anybody. And Creative Professionals is going to be a networking website for all sorts of creative professionals. It's going to be in the scope or, like, you know, of F-stoppers, you know, for photographers, but this is going to be for photo, video, event production, artists, audio engineers. It's just going to be a networking, kind of an MSN for creative professionals. I'm going to have multiple categories on the homepage that are streaming where people can check in and see what the latest news is for film projects and that kind of thing. And then I want to have a forum involved and, you know, a bunch of other bells and whistles, and I'm hoping to develop, like, a premium side. But it's going to have a lot of free content, a lot of free original content that I'm hoping you'll contribute to, Rachel, and a lot of other creative professionals that are in our networks. And then there's going to be some premium stuff where, you know, people can pay a few bucks and get, you know, a little bit more information on marketing and that kind of thing. So I'm right now in talks with some really high, what I think are high-level WordPress developers to see if we can get this thing hammered down. We'll see.
Yeah, you had a chance to write for my magazine this issue, September, for Independent Streak magazine, and you wrote about filming with drones. Do you want to just fill in for those that didn't get a chance to see the article about the pros and cons of filming with a drone and the type of drone that you used?
Sure. Well, filming with a drone is, you know, I don't know, I think it's the best thing since the iPhone. It's so much fun. And when I first got my drone, and I just thought it was the easiest thing to fly, and I posted all over social media about how great it was. Shortly after that, I stopped posting because I wrecked it a lot. And and I had bought it for a client shoot. I like Trial by Fire, and they're probably going to listen to this one. But Give Sports Amphibians are my newest client and my by far one of my more exciting. Well, I love all my clients, but this company makes a amphibious four-wheeler. And it is just what it sounds like. It's a four-wheeler that drives just as well as every four-wheeler anybody's ever seen or ridden on land, hills, mountains, whatever you want to do with it. You drive it right into the water, and in 4 seconds, the wheels come up, and you're on a jet ski. Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal.
Oh,
and,
that's great.
I've gotten to ride it, and it's a lot of fun. And so anyway, so I promised them helicopter shots, scuba shots, and drone shots, and so I basically purchased the drone for that, and we did use it, and it was successful, and it's been their final videos. We've done 4 videos and thousands of photos for them that are now rolled out internationally, and so, but I did, while working for them, I did fly it into a palm tree right when I took it off, and it was a little bit embarrassing. I recommend, you know, kind of flying it before you take it out for a client shoot if possible. But there are a lot of the trick is, like any remote control, once you turn it around and you're trying to fly it back to you, you can pull it back, but once you get it reversed, all your controls are reversed, and that's okay if you're used to it, but if you're not, then, you know, you go right and it goes left and you're in a tree, and then the next thing you know, you're out $1,200. I spent $1,200 on mine. And then it carries a $400 GoPro. And, you know, the GoPro, I always get the Best Buy protection plan, which is $50. So anytime I break it, I can take it in. But so it's a DJI Phantom. And the folks over at DJI, I messaged them because the arm was bent. And they said, you know, send it back to us, and it'll probably be $100 to fix. And I'm like, okay, that's a good deal. And anyway, they fixed it for free. So there's some, you know, their customer service to me I thought was really good. I read reports otherwise online, but, you know, they're a booming company. But the thing is I think that there's, you know, probably thousands of these, thousands and thousands. I'm on one group on Facebook that's got like 15,000 members. So the problem is with flying drones, and these things go up really high. They have, you can hook up an app to it so you can actually see your the perspective or the point of view from the drone. So you can fly it off out of your sight. And the concern is that with thousands of these flying around from zero to, let's say, 1,000 or 2,000 feet, you know, the problem is for low-flying aircraft, you know, it's one thing to get a bird in your engine, but a battery in your engine is a whole other deal, and, you know, it'll be a really rare occurrence, and I personally, in this right now, I don't know if I'd want to be a low-flying aircraft, because there's a lot of hobbyists out there that are just out there, you know, kind of flying them pretty high, and I mean, I'm guilty of doing it myself. I'm trying to be more careful about it now that I'm understanding more of the laws, and then there's laws against, well, there's regulations. It's all going to be regulated, I think, coming up in the future. I don't know to what extent, but you know, there's things about, you know, doing real estate, you know, video and photos and all that, because that's one of the most popular things to do with them is, you know, you get a lot more perspective and people can understand what they're buying and from a real estate, you know, point of view. So it's a really cool thing. And, you know, I recommend it to anybody to go. I think the entry level is about $500, and it's going to be the coolest toy you've probably ever had as an adult. Just take it really slow, and then you have to get into the firmware. I'm not a guy that goes into firmware unless I just have to, but that's how you have to update your firmware settings, or else you're going to run into problems. And I'll just, I mean, like, you can turn off some of the settings that reverse it. Mine, I took it back out after I got it back, and it was literally basically my first flight when I got it back, and I took it out to a park out west in the swamps of Florida, and I flew it all around for about 10 minutes. The battery goes about 15, so about 12 minutes, I had it really close to me, and I was like, well, if it dies, it's just going to slowly go down, it's fine. Well, it's got a setting in it that it goes home. These things have GPS trackers, so wherever it takes off from, it'll mark that spot. But it takes about 10 seconds, so without getting too complicated, I took off. It marked a spot over the water as home, and then I flew it for like 10 or 15, you know, 12 minutes or whatever, and it tried to land back in the water, literally slowly hovering down into the water. And there was a fisherman fishing nearby, and I was having a severe panic attack on the side of the water, trying to figure, and oh, I just shot a gator, an alligator, just down the way from where this was. And so we're in the gator-infested swamps of Florida. I'm a good swimmer. I was losing my mind about whether I was going to go out and swim for this thing or not.
Oh,
and
God.
So this fisherman is over there, and I'm like, hey, could you help me out? And he's like, yeah, I'll help you out. And he casts one more time. And I'm like, really? I'm about to lose $1,200 into the water, and he's going to cast. And then he fires up his trolling motor, not his gas motor. And he slowly, it was a scene straight out of a movie. It was like tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. And I was slowly getting all my valuables out of my pockets, my phone, and I didn't know. And so as it landed literally on the water, the skids were in the water, the GoPro was going down, I started swimming out to it and got to it just before the whole drone went underwater and saved it. And actually the GoPro dried out and I've still been using it. I'm trying to hold out because they got a new GoPro coming out next month, I believe, with more 4K possibilities, but I'll be trading it in eventually, so it's probably got some water damage, but actually it survived nicely. So yeah, there's a lot of, once you get confident with the drone, you know, that's when you run into problems, pretty much.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That's a pretty dramatic story there, Kel.
Oh, is that good?
Saving your drone. Wow.
Yeah.
So what would be besides the drone, talking about the drones, just in general, as far as filmmaking and making all these projects, from all the things that you've done and what you've learned, what would be your advice for someone that's just starting, getting into this type of filmmaking? What should they not do?
From a corporate perspective or a filmmaking perspective?
I guess filmmaking.
I mean, you know, filmmaking, I've been kind of more in the television arena because to me, it felt more like so many people were going the film route. And maybe that's just because I was involved with the Palm Beach Film School, and I thought, you know, there's got to be a huge market for television. Well, and there is and there isn't. You know, to a great extent, the market's locked up by the big players, and, you know, with all the different forms of media everywhere, it's just kind of a strange, you know, flooded and crashing sort of market. So as far as what would I recommend, I would recommend to somebody starting out that you do what you're passionate about, you know, whatever you think it is. If it's horror films, then do it and stick to it. And I think one of my mistakes is I got disenfranchised with film festivals, as I mentioned previously. But I think that contest websites and film festivals and things of that nature are truly the avenue for filmmakers. So if you're starting out, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, if you're young or, you know, old or whatever, the trick is to go make some stuff and get it in the contest. And then you get the accolades, and, you know, you can use that as part of your resume to get other funding for bigger projects, you know, and that kind of thing. There's a lot of, I notice a lot of photographers that, you know, not a lot, but some of them would say, you know, and they did beautiful work, and I used to think my work should stand on its own. People recognize for what it is, but once you start competing and you start getting the awards, then you're an award-making photographer. Then you're an award, you know, an award-earning cinematographer. And it doesn't sound like much, but it actually speaks volumes to, you know, to, let's say you're casting something. You know, your cast is going to want to work for somebody who's got some awards versus somebody who doesn't. They might have good work, and they might laugh or cry in your film, but it doesn't mean that you've gotten any awards for it. But if when they're looking at casting, like let's say you don't have much of a budget, well, if they're working with an award-winning cinematographer, they're going to say, you know what, this might be some quality stuff that's going to be produced. So I think the avenue to success that a lot of people don't understand is to go the contest route. You know, as mm-hmm. as corporate as it may feel to all of our us artists, you know, and, you know, take it or leave it. But I think that it's the avenue is better. And that comes from I've documented the American Black Film Festival with Reggie Ponder for well, I didn't get to do it this year because they moved it to New York, but I did it for 6 years, I believe. And I got to see so many filmmakers up and coming, African-American filmmakers who got to use that as an avenue. And you know what? I've seen their films end up on HBO, on my TV, and, you know, they've gotten huge success, and they've had a platform where they could go through and get their awards, and then they could use that to leverage it for more projects. And it's, you know, there's so many film festivals and contests out there, and that's one thing I want to do as creative professionals eventually is offer contests, because I think it's so valuable for people to get mm-hmm. that recognition for themselves and for their work.
Yeah. Do you have any other projects coming up that we should know about?
Not at the moment. I'm just kind of collecting myself, waiting for the film festival, and, uh-huh. you know, I'm just revamping a lot of stuff and, you know, just doing the corporate work right now. And then I'm just kind of, you know, these things take so much out of you when you're a small independent company. And they're, you know, they take a lot of money no matter what. I mean, it's not like I paid big budgets, but I try to compensate when I can. And no matter what, in the end, like having my editors work and stuff like that, and it's not, like I said, I'm not paying big rates, but in the end, it still costs. Everything I've done seems to cost a couple thousand bucks anyways, you know, and if it's food or whatever, you know. And so right now I'm just kind of trying to see which direction I want to go. I would really like to do a feature film, but I don't want to jump off that, you know, that bridge without a lot of planning. So because, right. you know, it's like we all know that a short film seems pretty long if it's, you know, if somebody's learning. And so I don't want to do a painful 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So give us your website for Comedicness so people can check out the website.
Certainly. It's just like it sounds, comedicness.com. Comedic, and then add N-E-S-S to it, comedicness.com.
Okay.
And
any
Twitter.
Other? Yeah, there you go. Your Twitter and your Facebook, anything else you want to give out?
It's at Comedicness is the Twitter, and then mine is KelThompson1. And then Facebook, it's Comedicness. You can just do the search in the bar there. And, I guess
and,
that's about it.
Is Creative Professionals up at all anywhere yet?
It is up in one shape or form, but it's more a template than what it's going to be. So it's not really – they'll have to stay tuned. You can distribute it for me.
Okay. Any last words, Kel, before we leave the show for today? Anything else?
What are
you
up to?
Say?
What
am I up to?
You.
You know what I'm
up to. Yeah, what are you
up to? What's
that?
You know
tell
what
us,
I'm up to.
About,
I just I came out with my magazine.
Yeah, and how many volumes do you have of that?
Let's see. I started in May, I believe. May, June, July, August, September. I can't believe I've done that many so far. So that's
insane.
Quite a bit.
And then, how do you put that all together? Are you using any software particularly for it, or how does that work?
Yeah, I have a software that I use, and I put it together all by myself. So I do all the templates and the graphics and the writing and everything. This issue I had you write for me. And I also have my friend Alan Darnay write a column. And that's the first time I've done that. Otherwise, I write everything. So this time I can't
branch out. And it's Independent Streak
Magazine.
Sorry.
It's independentstreakmagazine.com.
Yeah.
So people
okay.
can go on there and see all of the different magazines.
And is it mainly South Florida, or is it kind of more national or international?
It's actually international, but I'm getting more and more South Florida-based because there's so much going on here. And I'm trying to keep the magazine small because it's manageable at this time. So it's also an easy read when it's small and not too long. And it's online, so it's an e-book that flips. So it's 16 pages, and it's primarily Florida, but I do have people in England, Israel, and all over the place, New York, L.A., that I interview and include in the magazine. So it is global.
And it's free, right? Is it free?
And it's free. It is free. And
do you track track your viewership? Is it like a Google Analytics thing, or how do you do that?
Yeah, I track the viewers, and I have also advertisers that have come on board every month.
Awesome.
Yeah, Tommy O'Brien, who's an excellent actor who I actually wrote about, and he advertises with me. Also, Lisa Eva Gold, who does a book. She's an author, and she has different events based around that. She's also an actress. And Laura Bulla, who comes down to the film festival. Actually, you might get a chance to meet her. She advertises with me. And then I have other random people like Ohm Productions that advertises, and different people every month. So if people want to advertise, they can email me at ravenprods@yahoo.com, ravenprods@yahoo.com. But I'm not sure how this got about me, Cal. But
so wait, what other films do you have coming out? See, it's so much easier to ask questions. Are you asking?
How this is? I actually have a film that I just did called Illume, the movie, Illume, the movie, and that one's not done yet. They're taking time with it, and it's an anti-bullying film, and I played the Taekwondo master.
Oh, so, you're the bully.
No, I'm not the bully. I actually, it's almost like the Karate Kid scene where the Mr. Miyagi, you know, helps the Danielson. I don't do Taekwondo, although you do see me in the classroom teaching, and then it's mostly dialogue with one of the main characters giving him advice on what to do. So that's my role.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, we super appreciate you taking care of all of us small production people down here in South Florida and everywhere else.
I try.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, I try. I try to, you know, that's what I'm all about is promoting people, so that's why I do this and the magazine.
Awesome.
So. But hopefully I'll get a chance to write soon for your creative professionals so people can take a look at that, and I will be promoting it on the show and also online and the magazine once that comes out as well. So.
Awesome.
And I will probably be promoting comedicness again once the film festival hits, because I'll probably see you there and take pictures of you and everything. So that will be in a feature magazine, too. Okay?
Awesome. Love it.
All right, Kel. So we're going to wrap it up. But thanks for coming on the show today, and I probably will bring you back your next project.
Fantastic. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Kel.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Okay, that was a great conversation with Kel Thompson. I don't know how it turned around where I was suddenly being interviewed, but that was kind of fun. I've interviewed Kel in the past. I've known him for a long time, and he's always busy and up to something. So he definitely is one to watch, because eventually one of these things is going to hit, and you're going to see more and more about him. But if you are in town and you want to go to the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, it is running from November 7th through 23rd. They are keeping it very localized this time, primarily in the two Cinema Paradisos in Hollywood and in Fort Lauderdale. I do believe they have a couple shows in Sunrise as well. I will be putting all that information within our October issue of Independent Streak Magazine, kind of an overview, and then, of course, I'll have in-depth coverage in November, maybe even December, because it'll be after the fact, about it as well. So. It might be in the November issue, because they pushed the film festival to November this year instead of October, and they've shortened it a little bit. So they're keeping it very compact and manageable this year, and I don't have a whole lot of details yet about who's coming, but I do know, of course, Kel will be there. So you can see his film, his documentary, Comedicness, The Quest for Essence. He said it will be on the 8th and the 16th, and you can always go to the film festival website, which is www.fliff.com, to get information about the full schedule once everything comes out. Okay, and I will be promoting it again on the show as well. Also, I mentioned, of course, that the Independent Streak Magazine is out, and once again, you can see that at independentstreakmagazine.com. Besides the information that Kel wrote about drones, I also have an article about Seed and Spark, which is something similar to like a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo, and maybe you haven't heard of it before. It actually gives you points toward watching independent films, so it has a little bit of different aspect to it, and I have a full interview with the founder of that, Emily Best, in the magazine. I also interviewed my new friend, Joanna Rohrbach, who does Prancercise. And if you haven't seen her YouTube videos, they are a huge hit on YouTube. She gets a lot of flack from some people because they find it humorous, but it is a serious mode of exercise and setting your spirit free, and she talks about that and what the real message is behind it, because people have taken it and gone wacky with it, but she has a serious message behind it, and I did a full interview with her as well. And also my friend Alan Darnay wrote about screenwriting. He gave some screenwriting tips. I talk about the Sweet Fest that happened in Palm Beach. Also, my friend Alexander Billow did a event down at Cinema Paradiso called Film Carpet, so I have pictures and information about that, and she will be doing another one in October. I also highlighted the 75th anniversary of Wizard of Oz and talked about the meaning behind Wizard of Oz that a lot of people may not know. I was actually a history major, so I incorporate all that history in there that you might find surprising. And a lot more. There's a ton of stuff. There's actually the LDub Film Festival is coming up sooner than FLIF. That's going to be September 26th through September 28th in Lake Worth at the Lake Worth Playhouse and Swansea Theater. So again, if you're here in Florida, you may want to check that out. They always have some independent films showing there and often have seminars as well. I don't have that schedule completely out yet, but check that out. In addition, Baca, the down in Pompano, is having a whole series of films that are coming in for the Southern Circuit Film Festival. And the first one is September 20th. It's called My Toxic Backyard. And you can find out about all of that if you go on my magazine. I have the full schedule throughout the year of all the films that they're going to be having. But in addition, you can go on their website, www.baca.pompano.org. And this film festival is also going other places as well. So you can read about that in the magazine. What else? Yeah, there's a ton of stuff in my magazine. There's a sketch comedy show that my friend Steve Brown does, which is called 5-Minute Sketch Show. And you can see that at 5minutesketchshow.com. It's also all over YouTube. And they're coming up to their second season. So you can find out more about that again in the magazine. Lots of stuff going on. So check out the magazine and check out all those websites. And again, if you want to advertise in the magazine, which gets quite a bit of coverage in a very specific target zone, which would be filmmakers, actors, et cetera, then email me. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com, R-A-V-E-N-P-R-O-D-S @yahoo.com. And I would be happy to talk to you and give you the rates. Advertising starts as low as $25 for a business card size ad, so it is very affordable because I know everyone out there is trying to get money. They don't want to spend money, so I keep it affordable. And also, if you'd like to come on this show, you can email me and let me know what your film or your project is about, and I would be happy to consider you for this show or for inclusion in the magazine. Okay, so I will be back next week, guys, with someone new. I'm interviewing an actress that is going to be in a movie with Judd Nelson. I'm going to announce that soon, so you'll be finding out more about it. But also go to my Facebook page, and I will be announcing more about it if you go to www.facebook.com/IndieStreak. Just like the show, you will see the information about who I will have next, and also castings and events and all kinds of stuff is on there, so please like that page. Okay, I rambled on long enough. I will be back next week. Thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.